Well, if you have been with us over the last month, you know that we have been in a series titled Greater Things Through the Holy Spirit, a series that has been focusing on the reality that God has called us to do greater things. But the only way we can do greater things is through the power of His Spirit at work in us. And so over the last month, we've touched on several different scriptures and ideas of what it looks like to be people who operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. We started on our anniversary Sunday, on January 12th, we started in Acts 2 as we looked at the day of Pentecost, when the power of the Holy Spirit fell upon His disciples. And then we took a couple weeks after that to dive into 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 11, where Paul talks about the gifts of the Spirit that we receive through the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And then last week, God led me to actually go back to the beginning of 1 Corinthians 12 and really take a closer look at the fullness of the Holy Spirit, because sometimes we can just get caught up on just the gifts as being a part of that outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but there is so much more to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And so if you missed any of these messages, I really would encourage you to go back and to listen or watch those messages online, especially if you call Dallas Four Square Church your home. Because I think this series really focuses on the reality of who God is calling us to be as followers of Jesus, but also as Dallas Four Square Church. So I encourage you to go check it out. Now, if you were here last week, you may remember me starting my message by saying that I thought we were going to be wrapping up our series last week. And I said that because first off, I never planned on this being a series. And God just said, oh, this is going to be a series. And it just kept growing, right? And so I thought we were going to be done like 2 weeks ago, and then God brought more. And then I thought we were going to be done last week. But God opened my eyes to some new things. And so this week, I thought we were heading in a different direction. But then God took me to the book of Acts, to the very beginning of Acts. And I felt like He was encouraging me to take that another step back, right? Because we kind of went this way and then we stepped back. And now He's taking us another step back. And so He wants us to look at Acts chapter 1 and really look at what happened before the disciples received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We've been talking all about that, but He's like, nope, now we're going to go back and see what happened before they received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Acts chapter 1. Now, just to give you a little about Acts, Acts was written by Luke, okay? And it picks up right after the Gospel of Luke. He just continues where he left off. Luke continues where he left off in the book of Luke as he begins Acts. And so he kind of shares some of the final days of Jesus here on the earth with his disciples. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. So if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. We're going to read Acts 1, verses 1 through 11. This is what it says. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the skies as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." And we're going to stop there this morning. So we see here that this scene takes place after the resurrection, right? And Luke tells us that Jesus appeared to the disciples several times over a period of 40 days before he ascended back into heaven. Now, we don't know every detail of what Jesus said or did during those 40 days. But one thing we do know is that before Jesus ascended, he gives his disciples some final instructions, right? Some words that would shape the course of all history. And I want to focus on one of those instructions this morning. And that one is found in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, where it says this. He gives them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about." So they're told here to stay in Jerusalem and to wait, which really leads me to the main question I want to look at this morning, which is this: why wait? Why wait? That's the question I want to look at. That's the question I want to answer, right? Why was it so important for the disciples to go and wait? My first answer, number one, because Jesus said to wait. Pretty good, right? The funny thing is, it's that simple. You see, the greatest attribute of a disciple is obedience. It's listening to God's voice, and then walking in obedience. In Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, Jesus told his disciples this. He said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the Son of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded," right? We notice there, the very end, it says, teaching them to obey everything. Discipleship is not just knowledge. It's about obedience. True discipleship is about obedience. It's trusting in the one we're following, right? It's trusting that Jesus knows best, even when we don't understand. Right? Even when we don't understand what he's doing and why he's doing it. Think about this. What if the disciples hadn't obeyed? What if instead of waiting in Jerusalem, they just decided to do their own thing? What if they scattered and tried to preach the gospel in their own strength without the power of the Holy Spirit? I'm pretty sure they would have fallen flat on their faces, right? They would have fallen short. They would have missed the very power they needed. They would have scattered and run just like they did when Jesus was crucified. They would not have been able to accomplish what Jesus had called them to do. If you've been here at our church, you know that one of our core values is obedience. And that's because years ago, Jesus taught me something very important. And that's the fact that obedience opens the door for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I don't know where I heard that or who I stole that from. But I remember preaching, one of my first times ever preaching in a church when I was a youth pastor years and years ago down in Eugene. I spoke, and somewhere in my message, I said those words. And it wasn't until later, I was encouraging our children's pastor who was preaching at a women's retreat. And I was like, I was trying to encourage her. She was so scared. And so after, I said, hey, can I get a copy of the tape? Can I listen to it? And she literally says, to quote our youth pastor, obedience opens the door for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I don't know where that came from. But at that point, I was like, that was good. Wow, man. And since then, it's been something on my heart. Obedience opens the door for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The title of this series, Greater Things Through the Holy Spirit, right? That is the title of this message. And obedience is what opens the door for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In Acts 1:8, Jesus told the disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The disciples could not have fulfilled their mission without the power of the Holy Spirit. And they would not have received that power if they hadn't obeyed Jesus and waited in Jerusalem. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is this. Are we walking in obedience? Are we listening to the Lord and then living the life He is calling us to live? The truth is, there are so many things in this world that keep us from walking in obedience. Fear, impatience, our own agendas, right? We can all fill in the blanks. What are those things that keep us from walking in obedience? What is it that keeps us from doing what God is calling us to do? But if we want to see God's power at work in our lives, if we want to actually do greater things, we need to learn to walk in obedience. When God speaks, we need to learn to obey. Now, I shared this story at the end of our service a few weeks ago after I was done praying. It wasn't part of my message, but I shared this story, and I think it aligns with what I'm talking about this morning, so I want to share it again. So for some of you, this is a repeat. But a few weeks back, on my way home from a meeting at the New Morning Bakery, I was heading to another meeting, a Zoom meeting, to talk to someone that was going to help with some software that we use here at the church. And as I was heading up Main Street, my eyes were drawn to this gentleman on the side of the road. Now, I wasn't sure how old he was. He was bigger in physique. He had facial hair, which made him look older. But he had this look of a lost child. He was even kind of just like looking around, like shrugging on the side of the street, lost, like he needed some help. And as I drove by him, I began to think, maybe I should turn around. But then there was this voice in my head, and not God's voice, right, that was like, well, you got your meeting. You need to get to your meeting. You have a meeting. You're going to be late for your meeting. You need to hurry to your meeting, right? And it was in a matter of seconds, right? You know this, how it feels like an eternity where these thoughts are going through your head, but it was really in a matter of seconds. I had this dialogue bouncing around in my head. Wait, is this God saying that I should turn around, or is it just me imagining things, right? Do I just think that everybody on the side of the road needs my help because I'm such good at helping people, right? You know? And so I'm like, am I imagining this, right? And then all of a sudden I remembered I had just talked to our church about listening to the Holy Spirit and responding when maybe you feel led to do something that if it's a good thing, if it doesn't go against the Word of God, that maybe just do it, right? And so that's going through my head. And then as that's going through my head, I go back to, oh, but don't forget, Darren, you have your meeting. You're going to miss this meeting, this all-important meeting to find out about software stuff, right? And in that moment, I just heard the Lord say, what's more important, Darren, people or meetings? And like I said, all this was going in my head in just a matter of seconds. And I really felt like the Lord was saying, turn around. And so I did. I whipped the car around and I drove up next to the man. I kind of rolled down the window and I was like, are you okay? Do you need some help? And he said, I'm looking for the pool. I can't find the pool. And so I told him, well, hey, I know where the pool is. You're actually a little ways away. Do you need a ride to the pool? And I could tell I wasn't sure what was going on, but we were having a little bit of trouble communicating. I said, well, if you want to get in the car, I can get you to the pool. And so he got in the car, and I was heading to the pool, and we were coming towards the pool. And as we got close, I was just like, oh, hey, there's the pool right there. And he kind of looked at me and was like, that's not the right pool. That's the wrong pool. And so after some conversation, I pulled over, and I'm like, I don't know of any other pools in Dallas, right? And I'm trying to figure things out, and I ended up trying a couple different things because he said a few things, but it was in that time that I realized that this young man had some mental disabilities because he actually didn't know where he lived. He didn't know that he actually was in Dallas. He didn't know a lot of things, and so I was trying to figure out, and I tried going to a couple places over where we were because he mentioned something about housing and mentioned about this, and so I went a couple different places, all dead ends, and so I finally realized that I needed to go to the police station. And so I drove over with him to the police station. As I head in, he's sitting in the van. I just said, hey, there was a guy out on, you know, and I'm starting to, and right away she goes, shorts and a t-shirt, you know, she said white shirt and shorts or something like that. And I was like, I don't remember. I don't think it's white, but yeah, kind of. And she's like, where is he? We've been looking for him all morning. And I was like, well, he's actually in my vehicle. And so it turns out that this young man was from a group home here in town that had wandered out. He's new. They had been in a home in Salem and had just recently been out here in Dallas and was lost. He was actually looking for the Croc Center in Salem when he used to go to that pool. He loved to go to that pool. But he was lost. He had wandered off. And the thing is, I realized the police had been out looking for a man in a white shirt and shorts, right? And this guy was in black shirt and shorts. And so who knows how long they would have been out searching for this young man. And it was 32 degrees out at that time. It was pretty stinking cold, and he's in shorts and a t-shirt. And I share this story, though, because there was something in me that said, turn around. And I almost didn't because I was worried about meetings and I had other things going through my head. But there was a point when I felt like it was God saying, turn around. And in doing so, God used me to help someone that was lost become found. That's what obedience is all about, right? Allowing God to use us to go into all the world and help see the lost become found. When Jesus speaks, when he says things to us, we need to listen. And when we hear his voice, we need to respond with obedience. Whether it's the simple thing of turning a car around to help someone, or something bigger like giving up your heart's desire, youth ministry, to go to Dallas and to plant a church. Whatever, however little or big it is, we have to be people who walk in obedience. It's not just a good decision. Walking in obedience is not just a good decision. It's the foundation of our relationship with Jesus. And we have to learn to walk in obedience. Because when we walk in obedience, it opens the door for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It opens the door for us to do greater things. It opens the door for us to be the house of miracles that we've talked about. Amen. So why wait? Number one, because Jesus said to wait, right? And we have to walk in obedience. Number two, why wait? Because it equipped them for their calling. If the disciples hadn't waited for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, they would have never been ready to carry out the mission that Jesus had given them. Jesus knew they couldn't fulfill this calling in their own strength. They needed the power of the Holy Spirit to preach, to teach, to heal, to spread the gospel effectively. And the same is true for us. God is calling us to do greater things, but he equips us before he sends us. I think most of you know that I was a Marine. And even though I was fortunate to never have to go into a war situation, we constantly trained, right, in case that ever happened. We prepared before we were sent. And during my time in Okinawa and in the Philippines when I was with 3rd Recon Battalion, we went on countless mock missions, right? Practicing everything from strategy to survival. And here's the thing, we would never go on a mission, not even a mock mission, without being fully equipped. Before we deployed, we would make sure we had everything we needed, that we had our weapons, right? That's a key component there. That we would have our gear, our intel, and that we had a clear strategy, a plan of what we were called to do. As recon Marines, we would never head into a mission unprepared, because that could lead to disaster. That could lead to our team not coming back. But how often do we head into spiritual things or into life for that matter without being equipped? How often do we charge ahead without seeking the wisdom, the strength, or guidance that only God can provide in our lives? The truth is, and I'm preaching to myself right here, we're impatient people and we don't like to wait, right? And sometimes that impatience causes us to go when we're not supposed to get ahead of God, where we are unequipped and unprepared for the task that He's called us to. One of the things I think we need to understand is that God doesn't ask us to wait just to mess with us, right? In boot camp, you know, there were things that the drill instructors did just to mess with you. But that's not the God we serve. God doesn't tell us to wait just to mess with us. He tells us to wait because He knows that His timing is right. And His equipping us is to prepare us for the calling that He has placed before us. He knows what we need, and He gives us the tools, the strength, and the spiritual readiness we need to fulfill His calling in our lives. We see this throughout Scripture. Moses was a great example, right? Those times that Moses would go and spend on the mountain with Jesus. In Exodus 24:12, God called Moses to the mountain, saying this, "Come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commandments I have written for their instruction." God had a calling for Moses, right? To lead the people of Israel. But first, he needed to be equipped. He needed to spend time in God's presence before he could lead effectively, before he could do and be who God called him to be. And the disciples were no different. Jesus knew they needed the power of the Holy Spirit if they were going to accomplish his will. And the reality is, God knows what we need too. He knows when it's time to wait and when it's time to go. He knows when we need to be equipped, and he knows when we're fully prepared, right? Get out there. Because sometimes the disobedience isn't wait. The disobedience is go, right? We're like, no, I'm not ready yet, God. I don't want to do that, right? And so he knows when we're ready, when it's time to wait, when it's time to go, when we need to be equipped, when we're fully prepared. Again, imagine a soldier stepping out on the battlefield without his weapon, right? He may have courage. He may have heart and passion. But without the proper equipment, he's vulnerable. And the same is true for us in our spiritual walk. If we don't take time to be equipped through prayer, through Scripture, through the power of the Holy Spirit, We step into life's battlefield unarmed, not ready for what God has for us. And this equipping that I'm talking about, it's really the stirring that I've been talking about the last 3 weeks. You know, remember my illustration with the chocolate, white milk to chocolate milk, right? Stirring up God's Spirit in our lives. It's that chocolate milk illustration where we're stirring up His Spirit, where we're engaging His Spirit and growing in the things of the Lord. Because it's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that empowers us and equips us to live the lives God has called us to live. And this call to wait on the Lord, it's for our own good, right? Listen to what it says in Isaiah 40:31. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Why are we tired and weary? Because we're trying to do things when we're not equipped. I want to wrap things up this morning with this. When we look at this passage and talk about this idea of waiting, I don't think waiting is about sitting around, twiddling our thumbs, doing nothing, right? Hoping just that something happens. That's not what I'm talking about when I refer to waiting. I think it's something I would refer to as an active waiting, right? Where we're seeking the Lord, we're coming before Him with faith and with anticipation of what He has for us, right? Knowing that He is at work in our lives. He is shaping us. He is preparing us and equipping us for what He's calling us to do. And so we are seeking Him, growing in Him, and we are patiently waiting but ready to go when He says, right? And here's the thing. The disciples were waiting for a very specific promise, the gift of the Holy Spirit. They were waiting for this power that Jesus had told them about because they couldn't go and be and do without that power. But that's not what we're waiting for. We've shared over the last couple weeks, I've talked about throughout this series, that when we say yes to Jesus, His Spirit comes and lives in us, right? We already have the Holy Spirit. We're not waiting on the Holy Spirit because if we said yes to Jesus, His Spirit is alive in us right now. We're not waiting the same way the disciples were waiting. And so the key, though, is we need to be stirring up the Spirit. We need to be seeking the Lord and the things of Him, growing in Him, praying, meditating on His Word, engaging the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us discern when to go and when to wait. He strengthens us. He equips us and leads us so that we can faithfully carry out God's calling in our lives. The disciples, they had no idea, right? They had no idea what was about to happen in their lives and in the life of the church. But the truth is, neither do we. We don't always know what's next. We don't always see the big picture the way God does. But when we walk in obedience, we can trust that God, His will is being carried out in our lives. And here's what I believe with all my heart. What He has planned for us is greater than anything we could ever hope or imagine. Why do I believe that? Because God's Word tells us that, right? And so the question is, are we willing to fully trust God? Are we willing to obey when it doesn't make sense? Are we willing to wait when He says wait and go when He says go? Because when we're able to say yes to these questions, that's how we experience the fullness of His power, the fullness of His presence, and His full purpose in our lives. That's how we do greater things. That's how we become a house of miracles. Amen. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for what You're doing in and through our church, Lord. This series wasn't me at all, Lord. You just kept leading me to new things and have continued to lead me to new things. And Lord, we just want to simply be people who are walking in obedience, who are seeking You with all that we have, listening, doing our best, Lord, to hear. I know so often, Lord, our times of prayer are just about us telling You everything we need. May we be people who learn to listen in our times of prayer, Lord. To make our requests known, we need to do that. That's important. But also to take time just to listen and to allow You to speak to our hearts, Lord. Because the more we can hear Your voice in those quiet times, the more we'll be able to hear Your voice when we're out there driving down the road and You're saying, turn around, go help that person. We want to be people who hear your voice and who respond in obedience. And so, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We pray that you just continue to stir up your spirit, Lord. Help us to seek you with all that we are, to walk in the power of your spirit. And, Lord, again, we've been talking about that. That's not this crazy, weird thing. We see that sometimes in Pentecostal churches. Lord, no, it's walking in the fullness of the Spirit. It's being who you've called us to be so that we can love people, so that we can care for people, that we can reach out for people, that we can be the people that you have called us to be to those that you put in front of us, Lord. And so we thank you for your word. Help us to keep diving into your word, to keep growing in you in these times on Sunday mornings, to take these things and, Lord, to not just go, oh, yeah, great message and forget about it, but, Lord, to really chew on these things, to really ask you, Lord, what are you doing in me? How do you want to use me, Lord? Where are the areas that you're saying go that I've just been sitting there? Or where are the areas where I've got out in front of you when you've said, wait, you're not ready for that yet? Help us to hear your voice, Lord. Help us to seek you with all that we are so that we can be the men and women of God that you've called us to be, operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, doing greater things, being the house of miracles that you've called us to be. We thank you for this word. Just allow it to speak to each of us where we're at. What is it you're speaking to us as individuals today? What are you speaking to me today? What are you speaking to each of us here? We lay it before you. We give you our lives, Lord. Help us to walk in obedience. Help us to be equipped the way you desire to equip us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.